Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Welcome back to Building Bridges. I'm Candace Michelle, and with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, we're having conversations that we both hope will motivate others to look for the things that join us rather than separate us. So how are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing pretty well.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah.
I get to see you once a week.
I know. Yeah.
Well, actually, I usually watch your chats. So I get to see you three additional times. But, you know, we don't get to interact exactly.
Right.
Because it's you staring into a blank screen and fixing your hair.
Well, you'd be surprised though after a while what my mind is kind of set up there. I mean, I feel like when I see Candace, there's Candace and Dave Barnes and, you know, these people that I'm used seeing.
Right.
Those of you that like I know and I can picture, it's easy.
You know we're there. You know we're breathing down your neck. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those chats, by the way, you know, I just want to underscore for anybody who's listening to this and who has not been listening to your chats on Facebook, they are wonderful. They are fonts of information. Recently, what you did was did candidate questions to some of the candidates, and it was great. It was really a good way to get to know some of our candidates, and it's good stuff. And that kind of reaching out. And I know it, you know, you started it when COVID reared its ugly head. And now, I mean, we still have COVID.
Yeah.
But it's kind of morphed a little bit. And it's just a
it's just adaptation. And it'll keep just adapting. It'll just adapt to the times, whatever we're going through.
And it's great. It's great. I mean, it's not only information, but we actually get to see your face. And like you said in the beginning, we get to see the inner workings of your mind, as ugly as that might seem.
You know, there are days. There are those days.
There are days, I know.
And occasionally,
it's like, don't look in my ear.
and do the math. I mean, occasionally it happens on Tuesday, Thursday, or Sunday, you know, occasionally.
Yeah.
And you get one of those
I know
days.
It does. Yeah. It does. It's crazy. I know. So beautiful day today.
Oh,
right?
It was nice.
Absolutely
it was really nice.
Gorgeous again. Yeah. The wind started picking up this afternoon.
It did. I noticed that. And I was, I was up high too. And so you notice it real quick.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It was all right. It's a good view.
Yeah. I don't much care for it when it starts really blowing though. I've got two places in my fence that are loose. There's a board loose. So when that wind starts blowing, and it blows hard here, you know, those boards start creaking, and I'm thinking, oh no. Come on, give me just one more winter. Just one more.
I bet it does blow out by your house, yeah.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
We get, you know, when the winter storms come in, you know, they usually come in from the north.
pretty gnarly.
I mean, it's been 60, 70 mile an hour winds come through. It's it can be a little crazy. And Monarch update, you'll never guess. So I went out, I had released my last Monarch, I'm going to say 4 days ago, maybe 5 days ago, and it was like, phew, okay. Yeah, I didn't lose any. Great, they're off. They're going south. You know, go south. And the next day I went out, and here's a butterfly, tagged butterfly, that's flitting around on my milkweed.
Huh.
Now, I know what that means, although I was hoping that it didn't. So I ignored it. And then the next day I went out, and there it was again, flitting around. So I checked my milkweed leaves, and sure enough, she laid about a dozen eggs.
Oh, that's what that means? When they do that? Wow.
Yeah, I know. So, it's like way too late in the season. Way. It's like you're supposed to be south, young woman.
Yeah.
Not here.
And like tag this year, they can do that quick?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that. There you go.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In fact, any that you've released, you know, there's a 50 chance it mated and laid some eggs. I mean, that's possible.
Huh.
I thought that it was late enough that they would have gone, like gotten out of town, but I guess not.
So
Holly said that she went down into her lower 40 and she found about 100 eggs.
Huh. And so what do you do with them?
I don't know what to do. We don't have enough milkweed to raise them. I don't know what to do.
Huh.
I mean, the milkweed is all going to die back because it's winter, and I don't know what to do. It's very anxiety-provoking.
Well,
you know, the mother in me wants to save their little lives.
Yeah, yeah. Channel the other part and just...
I don't know what the other part is. You mean the pragmatic person? That one?
Yeah, that'll work. I mean, it's too late in the season. They didn't make it.
It is. It really is. I know.
We released, I want to say, I wasn't here for the last release, but they just recently released a handful of their last, of our last chrysalises.
Isn't there a science fair?
Yeah.
Like Friday?
Like this, yeah. Is it on?
Yeah.
This weekend.
And isn't Claire?
Yeah, doing the Monarch.
It is,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
I intend to show up.
Yeah.
So,
really?
You know?
Yeah. I got a sneak peek of all the boards because they're all doing it. And Claire's looks good with all the butterfly stuff. Yeah. It looks
really
good.
Excellent. Well, and she did a really nice presentation on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, she really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a sweetie.
She is a sweetie. Yeah. Pistol.
Yeah. You're going to be beating them off with sticks is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Right?
For that one especially. Yeah. She's a pistol.
Yeah. 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 So, I was thinking, so, you know, I'm trying to do the outline, and of course I was late trying to get it done. And I started writing out this outline and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. And then, you know, I got like 4 paragraphs into it and I just thought, you know, this is kind of crap. this isn't very good at all.
This is no good.
And then, right? This is no good. And then I started to write the next sentence and I went, oh, that's what I want to talk about. And it had to do with fairness.
Well, there you go.
And I think that might be something worth discussing because it seems to me that it runs through our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, you know, part of a lot of our religions. It certainly is one of the tenets in our government, you know,
mm-hmm.
justice and fairness and all of that
and
stuff.
And that equality that we were talking about last week.
Right,
yeah.
exactly. And I'm remembering back when I was a kid and, you know, it was always, my parents, you know, always was, you know, it had to be fair. You know, you have to make sure your little brother gets as much popcorn as you do,
mm-hmm.
right? It has to be fair. And we kind of just carry that, or certainly I did, as a life principle,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
it things need to be fair. And so I don't know, was that your experience growing up or?
Well, the old, you know, parental snap of life ain't fair, kid. You know, I heard that, but.
Yes.
Yeah, fairness is like, you know, it's like a universal truth that we all live by and things are built on, you know, it seems
right.
like. I mean, it's evident. And I can, you know, I can remember growing up and in public school, you know, fairness always being stressed. And that as I got older and how you relate that to your personal life of fairness and the reckoning of things, and it can, you know, it can lead into a lot of grudge holding. The fairness.
No fair, Dad.
Yeah. Well, the idea of fairness, you know, if when we internalize it and think about it too much and then our perspective is skewed just a little bit and we think we've been treated unfairly or we think something isn't fair or is fair. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. But on the other hand, if it is our perspective, if it is our experience that,
right.
you know, then it seems to me that at least it should be talked about.
Yeah.
You know, because by saying, oh no, you know, that's perfectly okay, that's just your, you know, whatever, is kind of denying somebody's experience, which just never goes anywhere. But it is hard because I'm thinking back on the times when my parents would say life isn't fair or something like that. And it was because I was complaining about something usually that could not be changed.
Oh, yeah.
That was beyond their ability to change it, beyond their ability to make it fair in my judgment.
Yeah.
Whether it was, you know, because, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think, but there are reasons why you give one child more than you give another child that doesn't have anything to do with fairness. It's about what they need or,
right.
you know.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, you take them to the county fair, and the one kid, they all start off with 15 tickets, right, to ride rides, and Silas goes out there and in 10 minutes squanders all of his tickets, and it's like
yep.
it's like, all right, Lauren, you got to give your older brother some tickets. That ain't fair. I know, but we got like 3 hours still to spend.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And what are we going to do with Silas for 3 hours?
I know. We don't want him just hanging out with us the whole time. Yeah.
Now, it is interesting. It's interesting being a child and being at the effect of that fairness and, you know, the perception that something is not fair. But it's equally interesting being the parent who is kind of doling it out, right?
Yeah.
Because
different perspective.
You've got really good reasons for why you're doing what you're doing. And
yeah, different perspective.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's very interesting.
But that fairness, it definitely leads a lot of our political discourse. You know, when we're talking about most things that we complain about, sometimes at some point goes back to that isn't fair, whether it's the tax the tax code or, you know, the way certain people are treated different than others, and it all goes back to fairness. Yeah.
And I was thinking about Lady Justice, I don't know if that's actually her name, the lady who stands there with the scales in her hands in front of courthouses, right?
Yeah.
And she's got the blindfold on, right? So
yeah.
the blindfold means that, you know, everybody is equal in the law, right? Under the eyes of the law, that, you know, she's blind and, you know, doesn't see color, doesn't see gender, doesn't see,
she's,
you know,
impartial.
Any of that stuff. Right. Although that's, I mean, it
seems like she peeks. It seems like she peeks out of there sometimes.
Like most of the time, she's got it on one eye. It's looking out underneath it or something. I know. Yeah, it seems like it certainly is an ideal that we aspire to.
Yeah.
And we don't always hit the mark. I mean, no. In fact, I would suspect we more often don't hit it than do hit it.
Right.
Because we're fallible human beings.
No, I agree with that. And that's the Justice Department is full of human beings, and that's why they don't all wear blindfolds all the time.
I don't think any of them do. I mean, I haven't seen any of them walking around with blindfolds. That'd be an interesting sight. But, we were talking last time about how people on the right side of the tracks, born on the right side of the tracks or the right family or whatever, have a lot of advantages that they're just kind of born into, whereas people who are born on the other side of the tracks don't. And that's not really fair, that it certainly doesn't allow for kind of an equal start. And I would think that at the very least, what we would want for all of our citizens is an equal start. Make of it what you will, but have an equal start. All at the same starting gate at the same time,
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
Now, Joe, I mean, that's a little pessimistic.
I know.
Okay. You're a little pessimistic tonight. All right.
Yeah, well, I'm a realist. That's what I tell my wife. I'm a realist.
Yes. So. The glass is at least half empty, right?
Yeah. Yeah, starting off on the same foot, the best I can hope for is everyone's afforded the same equal opportunity. But obviously, just depending on what you're born into.
Right.
Yeah. That's I can hear my mom's resounding voice. Well, life ain't fair, Jakey.
Did she call you Jakey?
No.
I like that.
What did she call me? She called me... Oh, don't ever call me this, please. She called me Jakey Poo. When I was a kid, Jakey Poo. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Okay, I'm just not going to repeat it.
I know. Why did I let that one out? Jeez. That is... Yeah.
Because you do realize that people listen to this, right?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay, Jake, really good move.
Yeah.
Really good move. But it is a way that you will know who's listened to this, right?
There you go.
If they start calling you Jakey Poo,
there's Jakey Poo.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
Well, my dad always called me Canny Annie.
Canny Annie?
Yeah. Because my name is Candace Ann.
Yeah.
So he'd call me Canny Annie.
That's
bizarre.
Yeah, that's all right, though. That ain't bad.
That
ain't bad.
My sister, whose name was Dana, we all called her Drain Brain.
That's a little...
Why would you do that to a kid, right?
Yeah, that's pretty
Why
rough.
Why would you do that?
That's pretty rough.
I know. But she was whip smart, too.
Really?
She was so smart. Yeah, So, anyway...
That ain't fair.
Right? <Yeah. laughs> But listen, she was beautiful... Blonde, blue-eyed, gorgeous, and had brains up the wazoo. So, a name like Drain Brain, let's even the field a little bit.
That's just an equalizer.
Exactly.
An equalizer.
I was thinking about all those things that that kids with advantages get, and it's really just all the stuff that we all want to give our kids. It's not like we're talking, yachts
and
summer homes, right? We just want to be able to give our kids a good start in life.
Yeah.
And that means a good education and decent clothing and a nice home over there, where they can live and have their friends over and stuff like that. I mean, we're really not talking a big deal.
Right. Yeah, pretty simple. And you're right. Yeah. We all want that. We all want pretty much the same thing for our kids,
Yeah. Would seem to me that if we all wanted it, there would be some way of achieving it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have a hard enough time paying for my kids to have that. I don't know if I can pay for anyone else's kids.
Yeah, is the thing.
I know. I would most likely be on the receiving end of something like that, though. So.
Yeah, but there's no problem with that as far as I'm concerned.
Oh.
Because there's so much abundance in this world, and there's so much wealth that is concentrated way, way, way above and beyond fair, that I think once people are aligned philosophically with that everybody deserves a good start, that, you know, coming up with the way to fund it is just mathematics.
Hmm.
I think it's always the political will that's missing. I've noticed that. I remember when we were talking, thinking it was like in the 80s, that there was a hunger project going on, and there was this big movement to end hunger in the world. And what they kept saying was, there's not a lack of resources. There's not a lack of food in this world. We just don't have the political will yet to end hunger.
Hmm.
But the minute we do, it's gone, because there are enough resources. So I think that's that way with everything.
Yeah, doable.
You just have to decide. Yeah, it's all doable. You just have to decide that you want to do it, that it's important enough to do. And, you know, and of course there's growing pains and, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, what else are we going to spend our lives doing? I mean, you got to spend those 70, 80 years doing something.
Yeah,
might as well spend it
trying to contribute.
Making the planet a better place. I don't know, right?
Giving it a go, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, I've just always felt like that was the thing to do. That, you know, you can be part of the problem, or you can be part of the solution. You can, you know, just be part of that meat grinder, or you can step back and go, that might not be the best plan.
Hmm.
Let's think outside the box and see what we can come up with.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, keeps my mind busy.
Yeah. Well, and I...
Which is sometimes a very good thing.
For no other reason than just my age and how long I've been alive, my perspective is going to be so much different than yours. You know, I mean, I never lived through a time when, like, you know, most people did just, the dude went off to work and mom was able to stay home and raise the kids, and like you could afford, you know, some nice things and not have to like work too hard, and just living was easier. I mean,
it was.
I have that, like, life ain't fair kind of stuck in me, or mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd like to get that stick unstuck. because I don't see how it benefits anybody. You know, when I look at it, it's like, how does it benefit anybody that most of our people can't give their kids what they want, what they should have, the life that would allow them to flourish rather than just slog through.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, why? Why choose that? And I was thinking, you know, that the government, the constitution of the government was designed to address fairness. Don't you think that was sort of where they were going with that?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the equality and fairness under the law, all being equal under the law. Yeah.
And clearly they missed the boat on a couple of places, but...
they meant well.
But I think, they did mean well, okay?
They were just, if you just you know, talk about a different perspective, you know, just day and time. I mean, what they were talking about was pretty radical, you know, just yes. the equality that they were talking about was pretty radical.
Yep. 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 Yeah, I think we each of us have a certain number of tools in our tool belt, and you know, if you don't have the tool,
yeah,
you know, you better, don't have it. That's better, all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, call the right? next guy. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Yep, I know that feeling.
But I think that we were talking about this last week, that the document is meant to be fluid. It's meant to be able to be changed. I mean that might be the largest gift, the most important gift that the founders of American democracy gave us, was that kind of foresight about how things change, mm-hmm. that the constant is change. And you have to allow the room to wiggle and change and, you know, evolve or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well,
which
a lot
is,
of them,
I guess,
they fought hard for that. And it wasn't, yeah. you know, I've read plenty of those arguments in the Congress. And they, you know, the majority wound up with what we have. But they fought for it. That was argued of how set in stone something should be and how, you know, mm-hmm. how livable it should be. And mm-hmm. and with the ability to change.
And the amendments, I would assume the amendments are there because of that.
Right.
You know, that ability to change.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't take long to amend the whole thing.
Yeah. 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 And we're still amending.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it should,
which
you know, it,
spe-
it speaks volumes, right? So.
Yeah. 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 Also find it very interesting, as a side note, that we still have not passed the Equal Rights Amendment.
Hmm.
That was a mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember in the 70s, you know, working that was, for that, and still not.
When
know,
was the last
not
time?
Not enough states.
When was the last time there was a big, like, push for it, or, you know?
Oh, Lord. You know, I bet our amazing Tom Terrific would know the date.
Huh.
But I'm going to say late 70s.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, it, and I could be way wrong. It feels like it was forever ago. But it definitely did not get enough states ratifying it. I mean, we're close. I think we are, you know, one or two states away
really?
From having it ratified. But still, right? I mean, you look at everything else that has been protected under the law for equality, and half of the human race is left out. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's kind of weird, right? It's kind of weird.
So I'm trying to remember how many states does it take to ratify it? 30? Do 30 states have to do it?
Oh, good grief. You really asking me that question?
Two.
You know, if we had Tom on here, he would know all those.
I usually like stay way far away from any numbers, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's not even
unless
go
I
there.
Have a calculator,
yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Even with a calculator, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I find, you know, kind of interesting, because I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. And so we had religion class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, I guess, had Sunday school or something, but we had religion class. It was part of our curriculum. And we didn't do a whole lot of Old Testament stuff, as far as I can recall. I certainly don't remember it if we did. Most of it was New Testament. And I guess that's because of Jesus and, you know, all of that. But one of the things that I remember from the Old Testament was, am I my brother's keeper? And I think that was when Cain offed Abel, and God was saying, you know, where's your brother? And he's like, my brother's keeper kind of thing. But that theme was pretty much hammered home in the New Testament. I mean, every time you turn around, there was something else. So, you know, what's the greatest commandment? You know, to love God, but the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then, you know, there's the Good Samaritan, you know, helping somebody on the side of the road. And I mean, there's just example after example of whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you do to me. What happened? You know what I mean? For a country that prides itself on Judeo-Christian ethics, we don't thinking we might fall a little short.
Well,
thinking.
Huh.
What do you think, Jake?
I think a lot, but.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah, let me think. Yeah, it's of note. You know, it's something of note. And if you do look at it like this country sees itself as a Christian nation, most people in this country view themselves as Christians, so why isn't the country doing this? You know? I get that. I mean, my personal answer would be that I'm not so sure, just because I don't remember what the statistic is. I want to say like 70% or something of Americans hold to some deity, you know. So obviously it could be plenty of other religions, but most likely it's some sort of Christian religion. But just because you check that box, you know, doesn't necessarily put you into the fold or into the family. It is an interesting thing, though, because you also see, you know, political ideologies that push real hard towards things, you know, holding everything in common, any sort of communism or any sort of socialistic ideals or anything is usually really, really frowned upon by a country that most of us prescribe to a Christian deity that, you know, teaches a lot of those principles, and it just doesn't seem to equate, you know.
And we somehow managed to overlook the road system, the military. I mean, all of these like socialist kinds of things, we just overlook them. We think, oh, no, you know. No socialism in this country. Really?
Yeah,
really?
Shoot, what is, I heard someone mention them yesterday. What do they call them? WPAs?
Oh, yes.
So that was when under like Roosevelt.
That was Roosevelt. Yeah. That was Roosevelt.
So
yes.
Basically.
And it was the way to get out of the Depression, which was horrible for this country.
And
yeah, he set up the Tennessee Valley Authority and the, you know, Work Progress Administration, maybe something like that.
I think like built interstate highways and stuff, right?
And dams and bridges, and I mean, all of our infrastructure was built.
Yeah,
which is why it's all falling apart now, because it was built back then, right? And you know, a lot of it has not been improved upon. But seriously, if it worked to get us out of a depression, right, then, okay, sounds pretty good. Why would it suddenly be the bugaboo, you know, that we don't want to go back to that? It's like, really?
Yeah, political parties change. It's got to start changing again, though, or changing back, or however you want to look at it. Yeah. It doesn't take too long. You know, when too many of us are born on the wrong side of the tracks, I mean, a generation goes by and everyone looks around and goes, well, what the crap, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, like, come on.
Where's my brownie?
Wait a minute.
Where's my chocolate chip cookie?
This isn't working, you know?
No. Yeah. And the way that you know it's not, well, there are so many ways that you know it's not working, but I was thinking about COVID and what that has done to all of us since mid-March when it suddenly became this thing. And what we've seen was that the safety nets that were put there intentionally, mm-hmm. like the Social Security Administration, I mean, that was another safety net that was put in, and unemployment compensation and, mm-hmm. and medical care. And I mean, all those things have huge holes in them. You know, people are not being taken care of. I mean, they just aren't. If you look at the amount that people who are living on Social Security get every month to live on, it's like ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know how you guys would do that, even with like two people, with married couples. I mean, I know my dad started getting Social Security, I think, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? How? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. I mean, the one good thing about it is Medicare, because before Medicare, our premiums for medical insurance for my husband mm-hmm. and I were $1,600 a month. So, and that's enormous.
Yeah.
Just enormous. So Medicare helps, which is part of the reasoning for having Medicare for everybody mm-hmm. so that you don't have to be flipping out when you take your kid to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be worried about, you know, can I afford to take my child to the doctor? Can I afford that? Should that even be a question that anybody has to ask, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah, so I think COVID really, certainly for me, drove the point home that...
Showed a lot of those holes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about all the people just in Oregon who could not get unemployment.
Yeah,
they were entitled to it, but the system was screwed up and had never been taxed the way it was being taxed. And, you know, it's just funny how we live. We assume that there's not going to be disasters. There's just not going to be any. So we kind of put these haphazard policies and stuff in place, you know, just in case. But we assume there's not going to be. And then when there is, it's like, oh, oops.
Yeah, and I was reading something today posted by somebody, I'm trying to remember, but with COVID and looking at a rough, you know, with the cold weather coming and just a big, you know, influx of new COVID patients. Crazy.
It's a little scary. And, you know, we were dodging the bullet here for a long time. But that whole thing at Seaview is...
Yeah.
I mean, that is the very worst place.
Yeah, it is.
That it can take a hold. And, you know, we haven't heard anything for, you know, quite a few days now.
It hasn't been a week yet, has it?
I think it was a little over a week ago that person died. And I think that the final case, the 56th case, was like 2 days later or something. So I think it's been just about a week that we haven't had another case. But, I mean, how confident do you feel that... It's not here.
Oh, I've always kind of assumed that it was here. I mean, you know, when you can walk around like asymptomatic, you know, or some people with such mild symptoms that you kind of think,
I got a little cold or something. It's just a cold.
It's just a bug.
Right.
But it definitely, seeing that Sea View thing, and just like you said, it's like the absolute worst. It's the worst place to have a breakout. And you know, we were riding high for a while, and then just and then bam.
I know. Yeah, I was every night when I would do the numbers for the radio station, be like, oh yeah, we're still at four. We're okay. We're still at four. We've been at four cases for months now. We're good.
Right.
And then it went from 4 to 56.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, kind of very disturbing.
Yeah, we'll see.
And now as we're starting to go into the winter months, you know, when people get sick anyway, the flu, you know, colds and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think all of the people who had this were asymptomatic.
At Sea View?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, there was a total of 5 staff people. 2, I think, lived in Curry, and 3 lived in Del Norte. And all of the residents, I mean, nobody had symptoms.
That's crazy.
So, right.
Yeah, I suppose some of the actual, like, patients, would you always know their symptoms?
Well, I would think that if they got sick, you'd know.
Yeah, well, or fever. Sick. Fever, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, you would know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they would say, I'm not feeling very good today. Or, you
well,
know, I mean, if there were.
Right, I mean, I don't know how many of them are, you know, it's a memory care unit, right? So some of them are like Alzheimer's, like progressed Alzheimer's. I've met people with Alzheimer's that think it's 1965, you know, and you wouldn't necessarily.
But you'd still know if you didn't feel good, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know. You may not remember anything, but you'd know how you feel.
Yeah, we'll see, man. Hopefully, it's. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I know. What else is there to do but just follow the protocol and hope, you know, hope for the best.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I was, and when I was thinking about all of that, I was thinking that, you know, we've really got kind of an interesting opportunity with COVID. It's another one of those gifts wrapped in sandpaper, that we actually have kind of some time on our hands, you know, because a lot of us are pretty much locked down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us work from home. You know, I mean, there's certainly more time that you're spending by yourself or, you know, not running around anyway. To think about things, you know, to think about how, if we really care about things being fair, I mean, first of all, I guess you have to determine whether you do care about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do care about things being fair, and you can see by looking around you that it's not, then what can we do to fix it? What this seems like such an opportunity to reimagine the way we would like our lives to be. And to actually identify what it is that's standing in the way of that. You know, if in imagining how you want the world to be, your world to be, it would be that everybody had more money to spend. There's got to be a solution to that. You know, that's not just blue sky time. There has to be a solution, I think. I think there has to be a solution for any problem.
That's good. That's a good place to be. That's a good place to be.
Well, I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, it seems to me that we should at least try, right? At least try.
Well, I'll give you that. I think more and more people are just kind of ready to hit like the reset button, you know, and and wanting something different, wanting something changed, wanting something new. You know, I have hope in just nature and new generations getting older and a different generation being in power and things just changing. I do.
So I'm hoping you guys are better than us.
Well, I mean, I would, you know, with some things, that's usually how it goes, right? I mean, I think with some things, and then a new generation gets a couple things wrong. And
right. Yeah, I've noticed that the majority of the people dying from COVID appear to be the elderly, right?
Yeah.
That whole older level.
Yeah.
I mean, people like, you know, 70 and up is like, wow. I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, that's assuming that those people had wisdom, which theoretically you gain wisdom the longer you're alive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a lot of wisdom that just left the world. Right? That's a lot. I mean, there's like been over a million people worldwide who've died.
Yeah.
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy. I mean, it's stuff they make like movies out of, you know, weird movies. Like all the old people die one night.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, it's a nightmare.
You're right, though. That's interesting. All the wisdom, all the different wisdoms that died with all those folks. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had my mom and dad here today, boy, would I be asking them questions.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
I think it's only as you get older that you realize that you don't know crap about anything. You know, you've got your great opinions and, you know, and they're based on your experiences, so they're based in some kind of reality, but you really don't have that long vision that you get from being on the planet
mm-hmm.
for years and years and years and, you know, watching things play out and watching history repeat itself because we weren't smart enough
mm-hmm.
to learn the first time, right?
Yeah, I would imagine the perspective. That's got to be a trip. I mean, I...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope wisdom comes with it. I'm banking on it, you know?
Well, you know, I think it does, Jake. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised that I appear to myself, anyway, to mm-hmm. be slightly wiser than I was. I remember when I was 20, in my 20s, I would say that what I really wanted to be at the end of my life was I wanted to be able to say that I was a wise old woman.
Oh, yeah.
And why I would think that at 20 years old, I have no freaking idea, right? Who comes up with that, right? Somebody weird. Somebody weird comes up with that. But that, I think, has been a guiding principle for most of my life, is that I look at situations to see what I can learn from them. What is there to learn from that? What wisdom can I take away from that? And if I learn something from it, then I can pass that on to somebody else who's going through the same thing. You know, when I went through breast cancer, and it was a horrible experience, but while I was going through it, the thing that kept playing over and over in my mind was, I'm going to be able to pass this on. I'm going to be able to pass on what I've learned and what to do and what not to do to other women who are looking at the same trauma. And, you know, seems to me that's what life's about.
So when you look back on your life and like split it up into maybe like decades.
Chapters.
You know, or like decades.
Chapters.
Yeah, or chapters. I mean, what do you...
Yeah.
What do you see... Because I've wondered this before. If there was, say, a 10-year or maybe a 20-year spot in your life where you feel like you... like learn the most or grew the most on a personal level, you know, gained more wisdom than other times.
Yeah, I for me it's really been one of these up and down things. I feel like I live life for several years, sometimes 6-7 years. I'm like full bore living it. and then I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I spend the next few years thinking. That's
and
I don't do it consciously. Yeah. It just, it kind of is the rhythm of my life. So I'm active, and then I slow down and,
reflect.
Kind of assimilate everything, percolate it, you know, chew on it. And then I'm full bore active again. And then, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's kind of fun, actually. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. As long as you did all right on what you're reflecting on, you know.
Yeah. You know. I mean, seriously, the older you get, the older I get, the more when I'm laying in bed trying to fall asleep, I remember the things I should not have done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the mistakes I made, the things I said I should never have said to my mother, my father, my daughter, whatever. I mean, it really is a lot. The reflection is can be not too much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom,
because we all screw up.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, we all screw up. And that's just the way it is, right?
The longer you live, the more opportunity you have to make mistakes, you know, and the more mistakes you make, the longer you live.
Yeah.
My mom always preached that one.
And there isn't any way to live without making mistakes.
Oh, right.
Or if that's your prime motivator to not make mistakes, you're not really going to be living very much.
Right.
You know, you're going to be very tentative and...
Yeah, I wouldn't...
You know?
I wouldn't get too far. Yeah.
No. When I look back and look at some of the things that I've done, it's like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Well, I guess I wasn't.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, I've got plenty of those scars too, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thus is life, though. That's just part of life,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly.
Huh?
So in terms of, you know, going for fairness or maybe, you know, looking at that as a reasonable goal. So it seems like we could do that in our daily life, right? If we are interacting with somebody and we get the sense that, you know, what we've said to them has insulted them or whatever, that they don't think it's fair,
mm-hmm.
We should talk about it, right? I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, I try to figure out and think about people that I'm, like, sideways of, you know, how it is that, like, we can even back out, you know? And it's... A lot of it is... Again, it's rooted in an idea of fairness where either I feel wronged or they feel wronged. And now it's like, right. You know, there's something, I owe him one or he owes me one, right?
Right.
Yeah. So how to just level that out.
Because it's so much work being angry.
Yeah, it can
so,
be.
Oh my God, it's so much work.
Yeah, that idea of fair, well, it is. I always thought of it more as like the reckoning. That one always stuck in my head. But just when I was wrong, the amount of time and effort that I would put in to devising something that is going to reckon this up, you know, it's going to balance this account out here, lickety split, you know, and it would, you know, you'd grind over it and grind over it and grind over it, right? Holy smokes. And it's just, yeah. Yeah, that is a rough. That's a rough way to live.
And coming up with justifications, like when you know you've screwed up, you know you have.
Yeah.
Okay, and then like, okay, then you start thinking, okay, well, I'm justified because this, this, and this, and this, and because if the shoe had been on the other foot, he would have done this, this, right? It's like, wow.
Yeah. Yep, been there.
And the smoke rising from your head as the gears are, you know, grinding. It's like, my God.
I know. Yeah. And those ones, that's a tough thing to be on the other side of and look back and just go, holy smokes, man. You know, what was all that for? What was all that for? Jeez.
How hard would it have been to say, oops, I'm sorry, right?
Yeah.
how hard would it have been to do that? Well, you know, because we hate being wrong. We hate being wrong.
It gets easier, though, and saying sorry a lot of times can just, once you do it a few times, it can be a lot easier and a lot more simple than trying to continually to make up or, you know, explain or excuse something.
Justify,
It's pretty quick, and it ends arguments just to take the blame, apologize, and just come to grips with it.
Plus, which it you know, generally it does take two to tango, right? So if there's an argument, there's usually misunderstanding on both sides, mm-hmm. at least to some degree, and it needs to be talked out. I mean, we can't assume that we're always going to understand each other, always understand each other's motive. I mean, how do we ever know what each other's motivations
are? Yeah, good luck with that one. It's pretty tough. It's pretty stinking tough.
It's crazy. Yeah. And that is inevitably is the thing we think we know. We think we know they were saying that to us to be mean.
Yeah, or to, something.
You know, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why? Why do we think that?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. And if you can, so like for me personally, I could see it so clearly in other people how mistaken they were for how they were taking.
Yes.
So then the light bulb's got to come on at some point, and it's like, and I think, well, like maybe I'm just smarter than everybody else, or I'm this exact same way and I do this exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And I like the choice of maybe I'm smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
I like that choice. But I
probably
don't think
not.
It's accurate.
Yeah, just, you know, the odds don't.
The odds are not.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jake, I see that green sign again. Yeah. Old Tom's letting us know that our time here is just about over.
Tom's doing his job.
I love that.
Yep.
I know. I love Tom. He's the best. Tom, terrific. I just want to say that one of the things I'm enjoying about doing this show with you is that I keep thinking about the things that we discuss afterwards, you know, and that whole chewing on it thing. And I find new ways of looking at things and, you know, so once again, I want to thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can keep just gnawing on those bones, you know, you can just keep chewing.
It's great. No, it's great. Because the feeling of growing and expanding, I love that. I love that feeling, you know, love that feeling. And, you know, it takes courage to admit we don't have all the answers, or that the answer I did have may not be the best one, you know. But just like the Constitution, I am a living document.
There you go. There you go.
So thanks, Jake. And
you're welcome. Thank you.
You know, we'll do this again.
Yeah.
We'll do this again next week. And, you know, I'm loving it. And those of you out there who are listening to this, remember that the only constant is change. So you might as well do it gracefully. Or you can do it kicking and screaming. But I'm just saying, the graceful thing is kind of nice. See you again next time on Building Bridges.